we're gonna start with over anyway. So if you would turn with me to Isaiah 55, real quick, like. That's okay. It's good to be rowdy in church, you know? We should be rowdy in church. We can be rowdy at a baseball game. We can be rowdy at a football game. We can be rowdy in church. Hallelujah. If you're doing church on your couch, why, you can still be rowdy today. I give you permission right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's celebrate life and let's celebrate our Jesus. Hallelujah. So he gives us some good news here in Isaiah 55, verse 9. And it says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And when if we read that from just a religious perspective, we might think that he's just insulting us. But the reality is it's an invitation. It's an invitation for us to come up. It's an invitation for us to come into his presence. It's an invitation for us to come with him and understand what his ways are and understand what his thoughts are. And you remember in Exodus 33 that Moses actually sought to know the Lord's ways, because he realized even after he had crossed out of Egypt and across the Red Sea and all these other wonderful things, he realized there's more to him than I need to know. There's more to you, Father, than I need to get. So this is, I just wanted to just put this reminder up here on this, hallelujah, because what I really believe is that there's a time right now where God is releasing new strategies. We're in the middle of a pandemic, and God is not going to let it go to waste. He's going to release some new strategies, and as he's releasing new strategies, it means that we've got to get along with and get into the place where we can hear his thoughts. We can get with him and begin to understand his ways, because out of this comes the new strategies. Hallelujah. So that's the framework that's behind what I want to share. And if you would, just turn with me to 2 Corinthians 10. And I'll just follow that up on the strategies. It says verse 4. We'll just go to 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction. They're not carnal, but powerful for destruction of fortresses, strongholds. Our weapons are not carnal. Our weapons are not carnal. In other words, it's not, when we're talking about carnal, we're talking about being inspired by the flesh, being inspired by those things that we can do in our own understanding and our own strength. When it begins to speak here that our weapons, when it says that weapons comes from the word stratos. And stratos is where we get the word strategy. So in other words, our strategies aren't things that we devise. Our strategies have to come from the one who devises them. The one who is capable of seeing what we don't see yet. The one whose thoughts are higher than our thoughts. The one whose ways are higher than our ways. When we get with him, now we're released into a strategy that may look foolish sometimes in the natural. But at the same time, it might look foolish in the natural. God is releasing strategies that are going to change this nation. Right now, there are ideas being birthed that will change the direction of our nation and direction of our society. I guarantee you, right now in this time, this pandemic is forcing them things to come to light that would not have otherwise come to light. If we're aligned with God, we're in on it. If we're aligned with him, we're in on those moments, and we'll be able to take advantage of those moments. It won't be just a blight on our existence. It will be something that brings an acceleration. Sharon had a word that this is a time of acceleration. Pulling back the bow, it's a time the acceleration is to be released. That because we're having strategies that are released. We're having strategies that are being here, that are being released into men and women of God who are ready to hear and positioned before him. Hallelujah. So, with all that said, We can go to Joshua 5. And she already, Sharon did a real good job of taking all the meat out of it. Thank you, Sharon. I'll have to pick at the bones here. Because Sharon already stripped it away. But here's the setting. And it was just shared. It was beautiful. Sharon, you did a great job with that. So awesome. And so they're here in Joshua 5. They're here and they're celebrating Passover. But recognize for them to celebrate Passover, something that I mentioned on Sunday, this, for them to be able to celebrate Passover, they first had to be circumcised because Exodus 12 tells us that no foreigner could celebrate the Passover. And neither could anybody, I think that was verse 12 and 13 tells us, and no one who was uncircumcised. So they had to be circumcised in order to celebrate the Passover. And so they were circumcised, and then 3 days later, we can now celebrate Passover. Now, in the natural celebrating Passover and coming, there's a couple problems with this. Number one, if you're being circumcised and you're now, they were at the moment that they were being circumcised, they're standing in enemy territory. They're on the outskirts. They're not too far from whatever that city is. Jericho, thank you. I knew it started with a J, but I wasn't coming with the right one. Thank you. So they're not too far from Jericho, and they're right there at Gilgal, and they are at that moment totally vulnerable to the enemy. They're vulnerable to the enemy. Now, this is not a strategy that man would devise. But they're vulnerable to enemy as a statement of their faith and of their belief, because God asked them, he asked them to circumcise there in that moment. That was actually following, at the very first Passover, it was stated that there would be a time when they were in the inheritance, when they came to the promised land, and they would celebrate Passover again. And so that was stated in that moment. And what they were doing there, where they were celebrating, because they had already been conditioned that this is going to happen when we get to the promised land. But there's a couple of problems here. Number one, we're all men of war, and we're now wounded and vulnerable. It was purely a statement of faith on their behalf. It was a statement of faith, Lord. That's why he rolled away the reproach, because the reproach was unbelief. The reproach was unbelief. So he rolled away the reproach because why? Because they made this statement of faith. They came inside him. They came alongside the God who knew more than they did, the God whose thoughts were higher than their thoughts. And so when they did so, now they have an opportunity, and Passover is celebrated. Well, that's great, but see, we've been wandering around in the desert for 40 years, and all we really got is some manna. How do you celebrate? But remember what Rahab said? When you first crossed over the Red Sea, we heard about you. And they have been quaking in their boots for the 40 years while Israel wandered around in the desert. And so as soon as they showed up on the other side, all of Jericho went inside the walls and left their fields ripe for harvest. They left their grain. They left their fields. They left their water. They left everything that was outside the walls was now available to them. The wealth of the wicked had been laid up for the just. It was time for them to step in. They began stepping into the inheritance just to even have a Passover. And so we have this Passover that occurs. And after the Passover, see, there's something else that happens. Verse 13, now when Joshua was by Jericho, see, what is every general going to do? Every general needs to go scout out the land and see what's happening. He was looking into seeing and surveying, what are we going to do with this? He's probably thinking to himself, hey, we're here, Lord, now what? These guys all ran back into the fortress, but how do I get in there? And then we see something happens here. He begins to encounter Jesus. And so he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went to him and said, "Are you for us or for our adversary?" And he said, "No." Now that actually wasn't an answer, was it? Are you for us or for your adversary? No. Rather, I now come as captain of the host of the Lord. I come as captain of the host of the Lord. I come as captain of the host. Guess what? I come as a captain, but I've got a whole army with me. Does that sound like somebody who is a ladder, who is taking the angels of God with him where he goes? That's what's happening here. That's what's happening here. The angels of the Lord were there. I come as the Lord of the host. And Joshua fell down on his face to the earth and bowed down and said, What has my Lord to say to his servant? Changed his whole attitude. He didn't have any more questions, did he? He just had one observation, your Lord. When we just begin to see him as Lord, now he's positioned and we're positioned to come into an agreement. And then he began to say, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy. And then he began to outline, the Lord said, chapter 6, verse 2, the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I've given Jericho into your hand." I believe in that moment he began to lay out for him the strategy of what he was about to do. But he told him, "I've already given it to you. It's already accomplished. It's already done. There's nothing more for you to do but to stand in alignment and agreement with me." Hallelujah. 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 Okay. Now, you should march around the city with all the men of war, circling the city once, and you should do so for 6 days. And also, seven priests shall carry seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark, and on the seventh day, you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And we know that when they made the long blast, that the walls caved in. And we hear the story, but we don't think about how it played out. Can you imagine, number one, you're a man of war, and your job now is to march around the city while the priests go before you and blow a horn. In the natural, it doesn't make sense. But they've chosen to follow the one who said he's the Lord of hosts. They've chosen to follow the one who already came into covenant with, and he showed up on the scene and said, "I'll lead you and I'll be with you. I've already given this city to you. So just do it my way." I believe it was 6 days for a couple of reasons. One, it was 6 days because six is the number of man, and they couldn't go up until the number of man had been completed. In other words, we're past what we can do in our own strength. We're past that thing that you can accomplish out of your doings. And now, and additionally, I also see that it's 6 days, okay? And on the seventh day, the day of completion, it shows up. And you had the priests. But guess what? That horn that they're speaking about is the horn that you sound on the day of Jubilee. The day when all the captives are set free. The day when everything changes back over again and you get a fresh start. It was the day, it was a moment of Jubilee. But I believe it was also something else. Because see, Passover, like Sharon was mentioning, it's actually 8 days. Today is right now. We're in the beginning of the eighth day. Tonight, we're in the beginning of the eighth day of Passover. I believe that seventh day was the eighth day, the completion. And there's something that you have to understand is that when that eighth day, basically there was also, they would, by tradition, they would have their first fruits would be given on the first day following the Sabbath during the festival, but during the Passover season. So if that was the eighth day in this case, that's purely a supposition on my part, but it made all of Jericho the first fruits offering, just like what Sharon was saying. It's a first fruits offering, and it's a picture of our Christ. It's a picture of our Christ. Because see, the Jubilee was blown. The Jubilee was blasted. The Jubilee was celebrated. And we saw that when the Jubilee was celebrated, that the walls of the captivity had to come down. And we were able to walk in and take what was rightfully ours. And the inheritance which had been laid up for God was all right there. There was no more spirit in the enemy. This enemy had to give it over because he had no more energy left in him after the Jubilee was blown. That's what he's taught. That's why it was 6 days in between. I believe the number of man had to be consumed. But on that seventh day, on that last day of the feast, they call that the great day of the feast. First fruits was offered. First fruits was given. Because see, all of Jericho, all the spoils of Jericho, what was not burned was given over to the Lord as a first fruits offering out of the land of Canaan. Great place to celebrate. A great place to celebrate. Because see, that's the same first fruits that we have available to us. That's the same celebration that we have available to us. The Jubilee was released on that day, and it's released on your behalf. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, wow. I believe that God has a new strategy. I believe that just as he released a new strategy and that he did something in that situation that would never, ever happen if by man doing it himself, man would not do it that way. I believe he's releasing new strategies in this hour, in this day, in this time to these people who will listen to his voice. Amen. These who will hear. These who will act on what they hear. That's the power of a jubilee. That's the power that is released. That's the authority he's putting in your hand. I believe that there's a place of graduation today. A place of graduation today. A place of graduation, because why? Because he's doing something right now in your midst. He's initiating something in your thoughts. He's initiating something in your life. If we'll just have a little bit of sensitivity, it's going to change how we do everything we do. I know there's a couple of gentlemen who have had some remarkable encounters here recently concerning this church and the explosion therein. I'm waiting, and I've been praying for that day. I want to see that day. When we're wall to wall in here. When we're wall to wall in here, because why? Because social distancing is a thing of the past. We're wall to wall in here because why? Because our God is greater than our situation. Our God is greater than our situation. It's greater than our taco stand. It's greater than where we're at. It's greater than everything that we have need of right now. And he's ready to stir this house up, and he's ready to stir you up on your couch, and he's ready to send you running around your living room and around your kitchen and wherever you might be, because he's here, then he's going to release a graduation. Amen. Hallelujah. Sha-da-da-ba. Sha-da-da-da. He's greater than our taco stand. Our taco stand's kind of good, though. Amen. 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 John 13. because see, I want to continue this, the same theory, the same thought, the same understanding, because see, he's still releasing strategies. We're going to jump ahead a couple thousand years and see another strategy. Hallelujah. So here we, in John 13, hallelujah. 13 verse 33, he says, little children, I'm with you a little longer. And you shall seek me. And as I said to the Jews, I say to you also, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And Simon Peter challenges him here in verse 36 and says, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you follow me later. And then he tells him that, yeah, I'll lay my life down for you. Liar. He didn't do it here, did he? And Jesus answered, will you truly lay down your life for me? I'll tell you, the cock shall not crow till you deny me three times. Turn the page. Chapter 14, verse 1. He says, you know, it's the same setting. There's no chapters here. There's not a discussion that was ended and a new discussion starts. It's the same moment. We're hours from his death. We're hours from his crucifixion. We're hours from all that's about to transpire. And we're hours from Peter just giving it all up and denying him three times. But our Lord knows this. And his response is, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And in my Father's house, or my Father's family, are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. For the sake of time, let me just skip down here to verse 27, because see, that's the first time he says this thing. And he continues his discussion, and he continues to lift them up. He continues to tell them what's about to happen in this, in any moment. He continues this discussion that's happening right there. And as they're all, the only one who's missing this is Judas, because Judas had already exited. But it's the same moment. And he's telling them something else here. The second time he tells them is verse 27 of chapter 14. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You know, in that moment, it was all good. They had no idea what was about to happen, but he absolutely did. They had no idea what everything that was going to transpire in just mere hours. And that everybody would be scattered out. See, we look at Peter as the one who failed, but every disciple who was in there that night failed. Everyone heard this word. And we've seen now where he gives it twice. I'll show it to you where he gives it to him four times. But they all heard the word. And yet, they hadn't let the word anchor them in yet. The word hadn't anchored them in him yet. The difference is not hearing the word, but do we let the word anchor us? Do we let the word root us down? Do we let the word begin to talk to us greater than the situation and the circumstance that's around us? Because until we do, we're going to be moved by every shifting of the wind. But when we let the word begin to anchor us, then we begin to be released to overcome. And that's what he was telling Peter, is that, hey, Peter, you're going to blow it this moment, but I guarantee you that there's going to come a day and a time when you get to come, when you'll be anchored enough in me that it won't matter what you see going on around you any longer. That's what we're looking for. See, God has given us an opportunity for the word to be in us in such a way that it anchors us and draws us. Hallelujah. Don't forget, remind me at the end, number one, of what you're going to say. But number two, remind me to tell you about how Father does this. There's a word that's going to come forth in from his word. There's going to word that's going to come forth in the Rhema and in the Logos. And it doesn't matter which one of you get it from. The inspiration is going to be the same because it all comes from a holy God who's releasing into you a holy calling and a holy grace to overcome. That's what we're looking for. But see, he says right here, peace I leave to you. Does that sound like he wanted them to be troubled? Does that sound like he wanted them to be running away? Does that sound like he expected them to overcome? Sounds like he expected them to overcome. They all had what it took. Will we cling to it? Will we cling to it? And he continues the same story. He continues the same dialogue. And the dialogue continues all the way up into chapter 16 here. And in 16 verse 1 he says, these things I've spoken to you that you may be kept from stumbling. What's that? Peace, be still. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. Oh, and let's make sure that we understand it's the same discussion. Verse 23 says, and in that day you will ask me. And said, truly, truly, I say to you, if you shall seek the Father for anything, he will give it to you in my name. Hallelujah. For the Father himself loves me. Verse 27. Because you have loved me and believed that I came from the Father, I came forth from the Father and have come into the world, and I'm leaving the world again and I'm going to the Father. He's telling them exactly what's fixing to happen. In verse 32, he says, behold, an hour is coming and already is for you to be scattered each to his own home and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. Because the Father is with me. And the fourth time he says this. These things I've spoken to you that in me you have peace. In me, in the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. He laid it out for them. And then he began the most anointed prayer that you ever see in chapter 17. But he laid it all out for them. He made it evident to them that something is fixing to transpire because he was a Texan. And it was fixing to transpire. And then as it transpired, he said, I want you to know that you can be anchored in me. Amen. Oh, that reminded me. I left out one important part of in the 6 days. Remember in the 6 days? Well, see, in 6 days, God created the world. And in 6 days, they marched around in silence. God was creating. God was creating. They marched around in silence. God was creating. He was creating. The Lord of hosts was with them. I believe that the Lord of hosts was with them. And as the Lord of hosts was with them, they were marching around in silence. But the Lord of hosts was positioning each day, each lap. There was another positioning of the host, of the heavenly host. And that when the trumpets went off, when the jubilee sounded, all those angels just went forth and collapsed. Collapsed the walls. Yeah, we don't think about what it meant. You know, how do you get a whole group of people to be silent for 6 days? Well, think about it. You know, in 6 days, God created the world. And then on the seventh day, he created a woman and the silence ended. I had to go for it. I'm glad you'll be asleep when I get home, baby. Hallelujah. Anybody needs prayer, I'm going to be here for a while tonight. Hallelujah. Think about it. Isaiah 35 tells us. Isaiah 35 tells us. One angel wiped out 185,000 people. When Jesus was standing before Pilate, he said, I could call 12 legions of angels. Do you realize? If he had 12 legions of angels, what about when he was standing in front of those walls, he had 12 legions of angels? You realize what 12 legions of angels is capable of wiping out? Everything. Because 12 legions of angels, if it's just 185,000 men times one angel times 12,000 or 12 times 6,000, which is 72,000 angels, that makes over 13 billion people that could be wiped out. Did Jesus need Peter to whop off this guy's ear? If he was interested in doing those things, they should have all could have been done. But God had a better strategy. The Father wasn't fighting for this moment. This moment was what was going to be releasing the heavenly strategy. This moment was releasing the strategy that he had to release on the earth, because he wasn't just interested in that small group of people. He wasn't just interested in leading all of Israel that existed at that moment. He was interested in leading everyone who would ever come to him at any age and in any time into his bosom and into the Father's bosom. That's the heavenly strategy that was being released. It looked like a sure loss, and Peter was responding to the sure loss because the one who's our king, they're going to take him, and if they take him, then we're gone. That was a thought that went through Peter's head, was that this is all over with if they take him out of this garden. But see, God had a heavenly strategy that he was releasing in that moment. And that heavenly strategy had nothing to do with Jesus in the natural. It had to do with him coming up as a risen king. A risen king, so that we could too. He had to come up as a risen king. And in the process of knowing and coming up as a risen king, he also was still the ladder that Pastor LaRue was speaking of last week. As he came up as a risen king, he still carried with him the angels who were ascending and descending. I believe that legion of angels, he's put at your disposal. Each and every one of us, he's put it at our disposal. 72,000. More than enough to change the world. Will we call upon it? Will we count upon it? Will we allow him to show us? That's what we're looking for. See, he's putting in our hand these opportunities. He's putting in our hand opportunities to see things out of his perspective, to no longer be led by the world's system or the world's thoughts, to no longer have our mind conditioned by what the world is saying or what's going on Facebook, what's going on Instagram or in the news. I don't care what news you watch. None of it is good for you when it comes to seeing what God is wanting you to see. Information has its place. Too much information keeps you from hearing what God has to say. Information is something that we should have, but see, all better than information is godly wisdom, godly knowledge. We don't find that here, we find that there. So when we ascend in the ladder, that's what we're doing. And as we ascend in the ladder, we're gathering together the things that we need, so that when we come back into an earthly realm, we're fighting from a heavenly perspective. We're no longer just you. It's you and all the angels. It's no longer just you. It's you and godly wisdom. It's no longer just you. It's you and the Lord. And you're a majority. Hallelujah. See, it's interesting to note. It's interesting to note that Jesus, when he, on the day, see, on Friday, well, on the Passover, it would have been Thursday, actually, Thursday night. On Thursday, he was buried. But on that Sunday, which also happened to coincide with the last day of the feast, he became the first fruits. Just as it had been played out with Joshua and Jericho, Jesus became your first fruits. He became the Jubilee. Now you could have heard the Jubilee sound, I believe, if you had been in the heavenlies, you would have heard the Jubilee announcement that was released, because when Jesus came out, the Bible in 1 Corinthians 15 tells us he was the first fruits. He was released on that Jubilee. When he resurrected, I believe that's the comeback of all comebacks, the comeback of all time. There is no other comeback that's going to be any redder than that. Because why? Because that tomb, the earth had been quiet for 3 days. How somber were the hearts of every man, woman, and child who believed on him during those 3 days. The earth was quiet. But in the quietness, he's building something. In the quietness, in the silence, he's creating. And he's creating and he's releasing the effect of his heavenly strategies. The effect of heavenly strategies is released in the silence. And when you allow yourself to be silent enough, you can begin to hear and begin to join in to that heavenly strategy. Hallelujah. And then you enjoy the first fruits. You enjoy what's been given to us. You begin to see and you begin to elevate yourself in joy. Hallelujah. I know that's Sharon's favorite word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, the wrath of the wicked has been laid up. Even through Jesus. We saw it in the Jericho story, so it also exists with Jesus. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for us. It's laid up. I believe it's empowered by our understanding of this heavenly ladder. I believe it's empowered by our understanding of just who our Father is and just who our Jesus is. And if you'll turn with me to John 15, I want to wrap this for a moment. John 15, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. I'm not going to give the enemy any space here. But I will say that yesterday I faced one of the more significant, strong men that I've seen. And I don't do that. I don't have to deal with that. But there was a veil ripped off this morning as I approached God and I just said, Father, what do you want me to know? What do I need to know in this moment? And you know what he told me? My love is without limits. And as I began to just receive and contemplate that my love, that his love was without limits, I began to contemplate what he said, and I began to understand, and I felt the joy return into my system. I was sort of physically debilitated. I don't get that way. But I began to feel myself being able to straighten out. I began to feel my stomach let loose. I began to feel the change and the shift. And the veil was broken off in that moment. Why? Because it's the Father's love who brings us back to joy. It's the Father's love that breaks off all the strongholds. I believe it's the Father's love that causes us to be able to celebrate in the jubilee and in the overcoming. It's what shifts the atmospheres around us. It's what shifts the atmosphere in us. Man, I so bad I wanted to call somebody and just said, pray for me. Pray for me. I wanted to just call somebody and just say, pray for me. And this is the most pitiful sound that you can imagine. Because physically, I was so beat up and emotionally, and I just don't know how to explain it. But I just knew, you know what, Lord, I'm going to trust you in this. And so when I woke up, I just asked, Father, what is it I need to know? And he began to tell me, my love is without limits. And it's enough. It's sufficient. It's sufficient. It's sufficient. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't think that happened just incidentally. Okay? Because like I say, I don't lead a lifestyle where there's any issues. So there's no justifiable reason. I believe it was a demonic assignment. And what he said was, after he told me those other things, he said, I'm breaking off the demonic assignments. I'm breaking off the strongholds. I'm breaking off everything that the enemy had sent. And I'm going to return it where it came from. And so right now, we're going to pray that. And then I want Justin to come up here and begin to speak and just begin to release a few things. But at the same time, I want to pray that with you right now. So if you would, we'll just leave the lights like they are, Chris. It's fine. But Father God, I just thank you. I thank you for this love. This love that shatters every bondage. That shatters every darkness. That shatters every veil and every stronghold. I thank you for this love that is more than sufficient for us, Lord. I thank you for this love, Lord, that breaks off every demonic stronghold. So we break those demonic strongholds now in Jesus' name. Off of this congregation and off of everybody who is within earshot of this message, I break those strongholds now in Jesus' name. All demonic strongholds are broken. All demonic veils are shattered. I thank you, Lord, for a breaking off and a shattering of every veil and every covering that is not you in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you that there's more with us, Father. I send forth the heavenly host on the behalf of the believers, Father, to call them in. And I send it forth on behalf of believers to set them free. I send them, Father, we break down the walls of Jericho to now, but this heavenly host, Father, and we break forth every, Father, every hostage, every bondage, Father, and we send forth the angels to break them loose and set them free. And I thank you, Lord, for the goodness and the grace, Lord, that is instilled on their behalf. I thank you, Lord, for the joy that bursts forth, Father, right now. Joy bursting forth, life bursting forth, heavenly truth bursting forth, Father, and everywhere within earshot of this message. I thank you, Lord, for the goodness and grace, Father. I thank you, Father, that it's happening, Father, because, Lord, you did it for me, but you're not a respecter of persons. You're going to do it for each and every person who hears this word. I thank you, Lord, in a moment, Father, there's more than enough angels to surround and to heal and to bring forth your freedom for every believer who hears this word. In the name of Jesus, we send them forth in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you for love and joy being released. Thank you for holiness being released. Thank you, Father, for the grace being released. Where's it? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. I got to pray the one that he was speaking to me. So, amen. But I agree with the intent. And the intent is that it goes forth. Even if they didn't get to hear it, the intent is it goes forth. it goes forth and continues to repeat and it continues to set free, and that the angels continue to ride with it and bring forth freedom everywhere to every believer anywhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Justin has a little announcement. Hallelujah. Welcome him up.
Yes, how y'all doing tonight? Awesome. I wanted to show you something. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6. As Pastor was talking about, as the commander of hosts came to Joshua, as the commander, and began to give him strategies, and he says, I want you to see. And so he had an encounter. He had an open vision. He says, I want you to see first before you go into the land, and before I give you the kings, and before I give you the land, and before I give you all these people. He goes, I want you to see it first. I want you to dream with me. And then after you dream with me, I'm going to show you how I want you to do this. I don't want you to physically do anything, but just walk around and be silent. So God is about, he's in the season of giving strategies. He's in the season of showing you before it happens. And I want to just show you in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16, it says, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. So see right there, I shall walk in them. That word in them is paramelate, as we've been talking about. And it is to actually to see into what God is doing. It's given the seeds of promise that he says that he has passed down from generation to generation. And those seeds of promise that he has given you, he says, come into my presence. He says, come into the temple and shut the door and come face to face with me to where I will see you. And you will talk to me and I will hear you. And I will receive everything that you release unto me. And then I will show you, I will open up that seed of promise so that you can see what I want you to do, so I can open up a blueprint into your life, so that you can see, so your faith will grow. And then I'm going to give you strategy on how to do this and how to make this happen by my grace, because it is sufficient in Jesus' name. Amen. And so what I have the honor to do, Pastor LaRue and Chuck has opened up Friday nights for everybody to come out here and to run up the pathway and to climb and to do some intercessory prayer like we do on Tuesdays. We're going to do the same thing on Friday nights starting this Friday, which is in 2 days at 7 o'clock. Just meet up here. If you can't live stream, know that if you do come up here, we have to abide by the rules. We have to be 6 feet apart. Amen. But the doors are going to open up at 6:30, 6:45. If you can't make it, live stream. The Lord has really broken some veils off of me, some strongholds, some trespasses and stuff from my past, and it's really opened me up to really begin to move in the kingdom, to move in the Father. I've been dreaming. He's been giving me open visions of some stuff. And if you're having problems releasing into the Father, I ask for you to come out, because there's been probably two or three people that's been coming to my house that's asking, because God is stirring up a hunger inside the hearts of people. They're wanting to abide. They're wanting to dwell. They're wanting to enter in. And they're having some issues because there's some ceilings over their life. And they're coming in. And if you come in corporately and you come in with people that can take you with them and you jump on their wings and begin to abide and dwell and to begin to flow through the pathway that the Lord has set before us, just riding on their anointing will begin to shatter the veils in your life. And then shortly after that, you'll begin to freely start moving in areas. Amen. There were some ceilings over my life, and I went to Pastor LaRue's house. I was praying with him. I came to intercessory prayer on Tuesday. There's about 3 veils that have been broken in the last 2 weeks, and I just freely moving in the Father anytime I want to. So if y'all are having problems, if y'all want to come out and just have fun and see what the Lord is doing, he's given me visions about this church, some open visions about the sanctuary, about this place being filled shoulder to shoulder, elbow to elbow, inside and out. The next day after I had that vision, Cody had a dream in the middle of the night. There was people filling the parking lot. There was just a cloud of angels over them. You can see just by their body language that they were being healed and set free. It was so filled in here that we was actually ministering from this pulpit up here, because people was even at the altar. It was so filled and so packed. So God is wanting to show us. He's showing showing what he's going to do with this church when in revival. And not only is he showing what's going to happen, but he's wanting to give us strategies. So if that sparks an interest on the inside of you, come on out on Fridays. We're going to pray into it. Amen. There's going to be some veils that's going to break, and there's going to be some strategies and some dreaming with the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You have anything else? So, Father, we just thank you, Father God, for the word, for the awesome revelation that you released tonight, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for the strongholds and the veils that was broken when Pastor Chuck released that, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father. We thank you, Father God, for what you've already done in this house, Father. We thank you for the grace, Father, for the revelation, for the wisdom, for the understanding that you have placed and that you have rooted into every heart of this congregation, Father God. We thank you as we move with you, as you begin to open our eyes and illuminate them with understanding what you're doing, giving us the strategies, giving us the grace, filling us with love, yanking out the orphan spirit, Father God. I thank you for the glory that's upon everybody in this place, Father God. I thank you as the angels are going forth in the name of Jesus, straighten out every crooked path, Father, in the name of Jesus. And as we walk in divine health, Father God, by faith, as we receive the medicine from the tree of life, as it begins to saturate and fill the reservoirs of our spirit, as it begins to soak into our soul, healing every wound, Father God, and clothing our flesh, the word no sickness, no disease, no pain, no suffering can come nigh against us. We love you. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.